Hello, I'm Richard Ford, and today you find me at Heathrow Airport. I'm here to interview a group of people who are taking the opportunity to emigrate to Israel, in other words, to make Aliyah. Their journey has been made easier by a group known as Nefesh B'Nefesh, which is an organization that encourages immigration by Jewish people to Israel from North America and the United Kingdom. Nefesh was founded in 2002 by Rabbi Yeshua Fass and Dr. Tony Gelbart and works in cooperation with the Jewish Agency for Israel. It is a Jerusalem-based non-profit organization that promotes, encourages and assists Aliyah and aims to minimize the financial, professional, logistical and social obstacles potential Olim or immigrants face. First, I'd like to speak to Dov Newmark. Hello to you, Dov.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning to you. And I see a wealth of happy faces here at Heathrow Airport. What do you actually do for Nefesh B'Nefesh?
I'm the UK project manager, so I'm in charge of the programming and all the different seminars and one-to-one meetings that we do here in the UK. I'm here on a monthly basis. I live in Modi'in, and my office is in Yerushalayim.
Oh, but originally you were from England, obviously.
You can tell by the accent?
Just about, yeah.
Originally from England, born in Ilford and lived in Hendon for the last 20 or so years.
Okay, let's ask you first, because obviously you're the heart of Nefesh B'Nefesh. What made you take the step to emigrate to Israel, to make Aliyah?
It's something that I've always wanted to do as a child, growing up in Bnei Akiva, coming on Israel Machaneh as a youngster. It was the right time in our lives. I married in 95. We have three children. When we made Aliyah, in fact, we made Aliyah on my daughter's bat mitzvah. We flew and we had a celebration at midnight on the flight. My middle child was 11 and my youngest is 6. So time-wise, it worked out very well at their stages of their lives to make Aliyah when we did last year.
What do you miss about the United Kingdom, if anything, living here, for instance?
Well, I know it's a bit of a cliche, but I do make a point of having fish and chips when I'm back in the country. You can't get decent fish in Israel. I was here for a long time. I've got a lot of close friends. My family are here as well. So it would be foolish of me to say that I don't miss my friends and my family. But by the time I get back on that flight back to Israel, I'm happy to be going home.
Of course, communications are so good now, and the world's become so small that, in fact, you can talk to people back home and see them on the internet, and it brings it all much closer, doesn't it?
Well, that's right. And we, again, at Nefesh, try to make it as easy as possible for people to be in contact with us. We have an 0208 number, an 0800 number. We're very easily accessible. And as you say, with the internet and everything else that's out there, it's so easy for people to make Aliyah and still be in close contact with their family and friends back in the UK.
Well, what about the ages of the people that go? I mean, I can see a lot of young people here with families and people like yourself. What about the older people? Do they do Nefesh B'Nefesh as well?
They do. This particular flight is pre-school breaking up, so you'll see that there are fewer families on this one. On the August the 4th flight, we have 100 people, which is predominantly family with young kids. Orpan Etzion starts in a couple of days, so there's a lot of single students that are flying with us today. On the March flight, it normally seems to attract more of the retirees, but there's a complete cross-spectrum of ages that are making Aliyah.
Let's talk to some of the people that have made the brave step and are actually going. Hello, what's your name?
Lisa Lieber.
Where do you come from, Lisa?
Chigwell in Essex.
Chigwell in Essex. And now are you going there on your own?
By myself, yes.
You're making Aliyah by yourself. What? It's a big step. What made you reach this decision to pack up and leave lovely Chigwell for the verdant grasslands of Israel?
If you can call it lovely. I've just been in Israel for the past 6 months. I was on an Orpan program, so I applied to do a course in Tel Aviv University and got in. So thought, there's no coming back. So I came home, packed my cases, and now I'm coming back today.
Now, what will you miss most about the United Kingdom? And about what? Chigwell's one part, but what will you miss most? Like, for instance, when you wake up in the morning and think, oh, I can't do what?
I guess just see my friends and family. That's the only thing I'm really going to miss. But with technology these days, Facebook, I can keep in touch with my friends, and my parents do come out a lot, so I will still see them, so it's not so bad.
What about the language, Hebrew?
I've been on Orpan for the past 6 months, as I said, so my Hebrew is okay, I guess. I can cope. I'm going to continue in another Orpan in Tel Aviv. So my Hebrew will obviously get better and better. I just need to try to not be in a whole like English American bubble and try to make friends with Israelis so I can obviously learn from them as well. So we'll see.
Whereabouts in Israel are you going?
Tel Aviv.
Tel Aviv, not Jerusalem.
No, I didn't really fancy Jerusalem, Tel Aviv.
Well, we wish you Hatzlacha and Mazel Tov and hope everything goes well for you.
Ta-da!
I love it. Hello to you. And what's your name?
Craig Kaplan.
You're leaving your family. How do you feel about that?
Nervous, excited, but yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Are you planning on making Aliyah for good? You're planning on becoming an Israeli citizen and staying in Israel?
Yes, I am, yes.
What made you reach that decision?
It's something I've thought about for a while, and then I got a job opportunity, and that's when I made the decision to go ahead.
How does Nefesh B'Nefesh help? What help have they been to you?
I think since I kind of started the process, they've been like giving me advice, been able to call them with any questions the whole way along, and then sorting out the flight, and also meeting other people that are going on the flight a few weeks ago, and things like that.
Have you spent a lot of time in Israel before you're going?
Yeah, I've been about a dozen times before, yeah.
We wish you good luck, Hatzlacha, and I hope everything goes okay for you. Right, now let me just speak to your mum and dad. Let me speak to dad first.
I'm Howard Kaplan.
Howard, whereabouts in England do you live?
Northwest London.
Northwest London, right. How do you feel about your son going to Israel?
Fantastic opportunity for him, but yes, I'd still like to do a rugby tackle as he tries to get on the plane.
My name is Raina.
Raina, okay. Raina, how do you feel about your son going to Israel?
Mixed emotions. I'm obviously sad that he's going, but I'm very excited for the opportunities that it's offering him.
Did the two of you encourage him to go?
When he said that he wanted to talk to us about it, we talked it through with him, and we could see that it was a lovely opportunity for him. So, yes, I guess we have encouraged him, whilst also I'm sure he knows that we're sad to have him leaving the country.
Now, he's probably one of the lucky ones. He's walking straight into a job. There are a lot of people. If he say he hadn't had a job, would you still be so happy to see him go?
I think we would have been more concerned about what the opportunities were for him, but he's a very resilient and proactive young man, and I'm sure he's going to do well in whatever he chooses to do. So I think I wouldn't have been too worried, but obviously it's much more reassuring that he has something lined up.
How do you feel about the security situation there? Do you fear for him for what might happen? Whereabouts in Israel is he going, by the way?
He's going to start off in Jerusalem and then he'll be in Tel Aviv. And no, I don't have any concerns. Having been to Israel myself, I know what the situation is like there. And to be quite honest, one is no safer anywhere in the world nowadays.
Another member of the family here. Sister, is it? How do you feel about your brother going away?
I'm excited for him, and it's good for me because I have somewhere to stay when I go and visit. And I like going to Israel a lot, so I will be seeing him. So I think it's a great opportunity for him.
Have you got any intentions of following in his footsteps?
I think actually everyone thought it'd be me that went before him. But at the moment, no. But maybe when I'm older, married, I don't know.
Well, I wish you got your lovely family, and you're going to stay close together no matter how far apart you are. Thank you. I'm now with the Bernblatt family, and whereabouts are you from?
Hendon.
Your first name?
Benji.
Benji Bernblatt, okay. And a whole lot of you guys, so we're looking at husband, wife, and three children?
That's right, yes.
Fantastic. So, okay, we'll go around the whole family. Now, let me talk to you first. What was the decision? What made you decide that you'd had enough of the UK and that you wanted to spend the rest of your lives in Israel?
It's something we've been thinking of for quite a while, and there were always reasons to put it off. But our oldest is 10 years old now, going into sixth grade, and we figured that we either do it now or wait till they're all more grown up and in university, so we decided now.
Have you got any worries, any trepidations about your new life in Israel?
No, it's all going to be fine.
Lang, what about language? How's your Hebrew?
Mine's all right. Corinne, my wife, she needs a bit of work, but she'll go to Orpan and everything will be all right.
Let's talk to Corinne now. Corinne, hello, welcome. So you're off. How do you feel about it?
Excited, nervous, mixture of everything, really.
You're leaving a lot of friends, and as I said before, EastEnders, you're leaving. What are you going to miss most about the UK?
my family and friends.
And your life is going to be completely different. So does that worry you at all?
I guess there are worries, there's excitement, there's worries. Take each day as it comes, see how it goes, and hopefully look back in a year time and say it was the best thing that we ever did.
It's amazing how you all look so happy. It's wonderful. Let's just speak to the boys now. And your name is?
Gilad.
How old are you, Gilad?
I'm 10 years old.
10 years old. What are you looking forward to most living in Israel?
I'm looking forward to starting school and starting new things, basically, yeah.
Starting school and speaking Hebrew. Are you okay with that?
I'm excited to be able to come back to England and speak fluent Hebrew.
Yeah, really show off, won't you? That'd be wonderful. That's great. Okay, let's speak to the next young man. Your name is?
Natan.
Natan. Okay, Natan, what are you looking forward to most of going to Israel?
Probably the good weather.
Good weather? And how about school?
Yeah, I'm excited for school and nervous for school because I don't have any friends there yet.
Whereabouts in Israel are you going to?
Ra'anana.
Oh, that's nice. That's a lovely place, Ra'anana. You're going to have a lot of English people there as well, so you won't be too lonely.
Yeah.
Let's speak to the youngest member. What's your name?
Doron.
How old are you, Doron?
Six.
Six. And you're an Arsenal supporter, I see.
Yeah.
What are you looking forward to most?
Finishing school at 1 o'clock instead of 3:30.
And having the rest of the afternoon to play, yeah?
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Doron. I wish you luck. Okay, Grandma and Grandpa. Let's speak to Grandpa first. Your name is?
Stephen.
You've had your family for many, many years, and now you're watching them fly off. How do you feel about it?
Well, it's tinged. Very proud and happy that my children and grandchildren are going back to Israel. And I think at this time, actually, very much of our parents and how they would feel, particularly Annette's parents, a father who was a great chalutz. And I think they'd be very proud. And obviously we're going to miss them terribly, especially since we have other children in the States, North America.
Your whole family spread out?
Very split up. But they're doing the right thing, and we wish them well.
Annette, you know, it's never too late. You know, do you have any sort of thoughts that maybe you might just sort of follow on their heels?
Who knows where life takes you. It's taking them to the right place. And we wish them all the best.
No trip to Israel, nothing Israeli could not be complete without speaking to my next guest here. It's David Siegel. David.
Hi, Richard. Good morning. Always good to be here at Heathrow, especially when we've got groups going. This is a slight group with a difference because today we've got a football team, Glentoran Football Club of Belfast, Northern Ireland, going to Israel to play Maccabi Haifa in the Champions League. So it's a very serious, important match, and it's great for us that of all the destinations that Glentoran were able to travel, Israel came out of the hat.
So you're not going with them then? You're not making Aliyah yourself?
I'm not making Aliyah. I know this flight is full of great patriots who are going off to Israel on one-way tickets. Glentoran are going for different reasons. No, I'm just here to see fair play, Richard, to make sure I'll treat them well, to make sure that they go with a good feeling. It's always very important to us when a non-Jewish team goes specifically to Israel of all destinations, because we're obviously ultra sensitive that everything should be okay. So we take it very personally. So we've made all the arrangements. They're going with a party of 29 passengers this morning and play their match on Wednesday night. Thursday they'll be on their way home.
Okay, now I'd like to speak to Aubrey Ralph, the chairman of Glentoran Football Club.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning to you. You're from Northern Ireland, is that right?
That's correct, yes it is.
And you're going to play football in Israel. Do you know the players that you're facing at Maccabi?
Yes, we have a fair idea because they gave us quite a comprehensive rundown on the team. We were here 11 years ago as well. And I think it'd be true to say the club have moved on greatly from then. So, but we're looking forward to the trip. It's a challenge. And we were very well treated the last time we were here. And we don't expect it to be any different this time.
How about the heat? It's going to be very hot out there, much hotter than it is in Northern Ireland.
Yeah, well, I'm led to believe the game's going to be about 9 in the evening, so I think it's going to be 28 degrees, and that will be better than we would get in a summer's day. So it'll be hard for the boys, that's for sure. You know.
They've all been training hard, have they?
Well, we're not very long back. We've had 4 pre-season games, and fitness will be a worry for us, that's for sure.
Are you? You're not a professional team, are you an amateur team?
No, we're semi-professional.
Oh, semi-professional.
Yeah.
You got any players in your team that you think will go on to Premier League?
No, it's a big step up from there. We have a lot of lads in the team who have been in England playing from an apprenticeships and whatnot. We have a couple of full internationals in our team and some under 21 internationals as well.
What about what do you like about Israel? You've been there before. What impresses you of the country?
Well, unfortunately, I didn't get, like most football trips, we didn't get to see enough of the country that we would. We stayed. I travelled with my two sons last time, and we stayed in Tel Aviv and moved up to Haifa for the game. I was quite surprised about the sort of seaside nature of the place, and wasn't what I expected. And a great mix of cultures as well, obviously.
What I want to just add, Richard, that Aubrey's being very modest. What he hasn't told you is that Glentoran are the top team in Belfast. They're playing in the Champions League. They're a household name in Northern Ireland. They're two really very big teams in Northern Ireland. Glentoran are one of them, and they're a household name. So there's no one in Northern Ireland who doesn't know of Glentoran. This is big stuff, and they're an important team, and they're playing a very important match. And if you're talking about the heat, I think the most heat, Aubrey, you're going to have is on the pitch on Wednesday night.
Yeah. Aubrey, I wish you luck. Have a wonderful game. Play some great football and enjoy the experience.
We'll certainly do that. Thanks very much.
Thank you. I'd now like to speak to Mr. Warren Pinner. Where are you from, Warren?
Palmer's Green, North London.
North London. I've been told by somebody that you've been waiting since 1957 to make Aliyah, to come to Israel. Why did you wait so long?
Well, these things take a while, you know, to arrange. Yeah. And well, that's how it's worked out. It's really because of family ties, family connections, and my late wife's career, and things got delayed. But we first talked about it when we first met
in 1957.
Yeah, 1957.
That is fantastic. Whereabouts in Israel are you going to live?
In Jerusalem. Where else?
Where else, exactly. One of you, everything settled there? You got an apartment?
Oh, yes, I have an apartment, yeah, which my late wife and I chose and paid for some years ago.
How has Nefesh B'Nefesh been of help to you?
Oh, so far they've been very helpful, guiding me and arranging a lot of the paperwork and cutting through the red tape and all that.
So you would recommend someone who's making Aliyah to go through Nefesh B'Nefesh?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Let's speak to daughter now. Your name is?
Dina.
Dina. Hello, Dina. And presumably you live in Jerusalem.
I do.
Right. And it's now a culmination of a dream to get dad over there, yeah?
It is.
Is he going to be living near you?
He is.
Fantastic. So what is life like for you in Jerusalem?
Oh, it's lovely. Nice work, nice friends, nice neighbours, nice weather.
You grew up in Palmer's Green, I presume, did you?
I did.
Do you miss it at all?
Yeah, London's brilliant. London's an amazing city. It's fantastic, but Israel's better.
A lot of Israelis, when they come over here in the summer, just come and they say it's so cool and wonderful to get out. There's a hot sun. Would you concur with that?
Yeah, but I love the heat as well. It's fabulous. It's fabulous having bright sunshine every single day, every single morning.
You would never consider coming back to the UK then?
One can never say never, but please God, I will be blessed to stay in Israel forever.
Well, I hope you and your dad and your family have a wonderful life in Israel, and wish you Hatzlacha and Mazel Tov to you.
Thanks very much.
I have to say, Nefesh B'Nefesh are amazing, both practically but also emotionally. I would just phone up and talk for about 20 minutes, just stuff that was going on, and there was always someone just to listen to me and tell me that it would all be okay and that they're there to help. And they're just fantastic, and anyone making Aliyah has to speak to them.
I'm glad to talk to Daniel Mendelssohn. Daniel, hello to you.
Hi.
Hi, welcome. And I see all your bags are packed and blue NBN stickers over everything. So you're making Aliyah?
Yes, finally.
Tell me, why are you making Aliyah this time?
I've just been in Israel for the past 3 years. I joined the army as a volunteer in a combat unit. So I finished the army about 3 weeks ago, came back to England, and moving back to Israel.
Whereabouts in Israel are you going to?
To start off, we'll be in Jerusalem.
Are you worried at all? I mean, you've been in the army, you've seen the way things work. Are you worried about the security aspect, about living in Jerusalem at all?
You could say it's safer living in England, but being through the army and understanding how it works, not worried about the security at all. There's very tight security there, and appropriate measures are taken for everything.
You're in a combat unit, were you?
Yes, Golani.
Did you see any action?
I was in the war in January in Gaza.
How was that for you? Tell me about it.
It was tough, being a foreign volunteer in the Israeli army. But we moved very carefully, and we briefed very carefully, and everything was carried out very slowly and accurately and carefully. And it was something that needed to be done to destroy the weapons that they were storing in Gaza.
Do you think that's been done?
Not completely. It's very hard to do that 100%, but we knocked over 70% of the storage of weapons. I was inside for 2 weeks doing exactly that.
Now's your opportunity. Israel's had a lot of criticism for what happened in Gaza. The proportionate number of people that were killed, the Arabs were killed and Israelis were killed, disproportional, people are saying. You've got a golden opportunity to put this right.
Yep, I do. It's very interesting to differentiate between what's a terrorist and what's a civilian. And the world seems to slate Israel for slaughtering civilians. Now, I witnessed this myself, being in Gaza. And when a terrorist comes out of the house charging towards my unit shooting, he's a terrorist, and he got taken out. His mother comes out of the building, picks up the gun, and carries on shooting. Now, the world sees her as a terrorist, as a civilian, sorry. She is no different. The second she decides to pick up that weapon and carry on shooting, she is a terrorist too. Those civilians, so-called civilians, who don't carry weapons but use their houses to store Qassam rockets that are being fired, or use their back gardens to allow terrorists to use them, are also terrorists. They are not civilians. So in actual fact, the majority of these so-called civilians that were killed were actually terrorists.
They say that the Arabs don't have the same quality, they don't value the same quality of life as Israelis, and it can be borne out by the fact that the Israelis would give up 300 or 400 prisoners for the bodies of two dead Israeli soldiers. Did you find that the Arabs really didn't care about the lives of them and their children?
I'll tell you something very strong that I witnessed after the war. I was still stationed by Gaza. And there's a safety zone of about 200 meters by the fence. We had very strong intelligence that there was a terrorist who was going to come packed with explosives and try and blow up the fence. That night, we knew it was going to happen that night, and the terrorists decided to try and trick us. And they sent an 11-year-old boy with a school bag of full of school books to the fence, paid him about £15, 100 shekels, to do this. And act as a terrorist to see how well we would respond to it. Fortunately, we did not shoot him. We did not kill him. We went in very carefully, to much of the soldiers' disappointment, because it's very dangerous for us to try and capture somebody who's loaded with explosives. And we caught him, but he was an 11-year-old boy that they had sent to his own death.
That's terrible. That's awful.
This was 11 o'clock at night. An 11-year-old schoolboy has no reason to be by the fence.
I can see your resolve in wanting to be in a land that you've helped defend, and I do wish you much luck and chazaka, and I hope everything goes well for you.
Thank you very much.
Daniel Mendelssohn, that wonderful words from Daniel, and his parents here. Let's speak to Mummy first. Your name?
Sarah.
How did you feel with your son on the front line in Gaza?
It was a very difficult time for all of family. We just carried on praying for him and sending messages and just hopeful that he would be out and healthy, and we're exceptionally proud of what he did, but it was a very worrying time for us.
Marvellous thing that he did. It's fantastic.
It is. It's a fantastic thing he did. We're exceptionally proud of him.
Right, and now he's going to make Aliyah. Are you thinking of joining him, perhaps?
I wish we would all go and join him. Please God, we should all go and join him.
Speak to Dad now.
Paul Mendelssohn.
Paul, where do you come from, Paul? What part of London, or part of England?
London.
And what part?
I grew up in Kenton, but we now live in Bushy.
Bushy, right, okay. Would you trade the life in leafy Bushy for the life in hot, sweltering Israel?
Maybe one day.
Let's speak to sister.
Hi, I'm Tamar.
Tamar, why aren't you following your brother?
Well, I'm currently doing a degree, but afterwards I would very much like to join him in Israel, definitely.
Right, so the two of you there, then there's not much point in Mum and Dad staying in Bushy, is
it? I'm trying to convince them slowly. So there's two more of us. I have two more brothers, and when they come out, hopefully my parents will follow.
Well, the latest group of hopeful Olim have just flown off to Israel. What will they face when they arrive? Are they living the dream and will spend the rest of their lives in peace and happiness and fulfillment? Or will it not be what they thought it was and they'd return one day to the UK or the United States? Time will tell. Most people have planned their Aliyah down to the smallest detail and know exactly what they are facing and will cope well. We wish them Hatzlacha and Mazel Tov. This is Richard Ford at Heathrow, returning you to the studio in London.